Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. I'm Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive, and I've been running this show for many years. And one of our favorite, not always uplifting, I must say, Linda, one of our favorite interviewees is astrologer Linda Sherman. And Linda has a wealth of information about politics, how politics goes together. She stays attuned to what's going on these days. And lives in Ithaca, which is apparently a place that's put together the consciousness of having like sustainability and so on. But that's not why she's on today. I'm saying, Linda, what on earth is going on in our society? And you've already said a few interesting things. So, Linda, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to talk with you, my friend.
Veronica, it's always such a pleasure to be on your show and to be interviewed by you, my favorite interviewer.
Well, now that we've got our mutual, I love it.
Our mutual admiration society.
Well, and before I started introducing you properly, you were telling people about what it is like in Ithaca right now and how you see the coronavirus, you know, expressing something in our, well, I guess, global community. Do you want to carry on with that? Talk about that.
Well, first of all, when it comes to where I am in Ithaca, New York, upstate from New York City, where Cornell University and Ithaca College reside, it's a beautiful, beautiful area. And we live in a town of very conscious people who believe in energy conservation and global climate change. We believe the science that is telling us what we need to do, that what humanity needs to do. And we find, my husband and I find ourselves very compatible with the wonderful people up here, our neighbors. So far, where I am, there have been no reported cases as of yesterday. Now, I don't know today or I don't know tomorrow of corona. We're all observing. The schools have been shut down except for completing classes online. We've still been going out and doing things, and we just simply wash our hands. We keep at a distance. We keep the handy wipes handy. And so far, we have had nothing. I mean, it's inevitable something is going to come here, but we are kind of in a, this is the American home of the Dalai Lama, and we have the big a monastery here. So we feel that this is really beautiful hills, gorges, waterfalls. It's a beautiful park that is on Lake Cayuga. We're in the Finger Lakes, so we'll never hopefully run out of fresh water. That's another thing. So we're in pretty good shape here. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be something that comes in. My feeling when I did my January newsletter, is the Soothsayer, SOOTHESAYER.com, and I put it up free to the public every month at the first of the month, no charge to anyone, about my projections. And I have been saying for some time that there was going to be this, probably this year, a real stock market crash, a bear market, and a severe recessed economy that has been actually postponed and popped. This bubble market has been popped up by the tax breaks given to the billionaires and corporations buying back their own stock. And when they ran out of money to do it, they borrowed the money from the banks to buy back their own stock to create an illusion here. And
well, can I interrupt you for a second? Is it part of that development of an oligarchic culture? You know, it seems like they're the ones that get more and more of the money, and this is the style of doing it, right?
Absolutely. And I talk about this constantly on my newsletter, that the upper 1% owns about 80% minimal of this country's wealth. And the most people are losing. The advent of homelessness in this country has skyrocketed over the past decade to records not seen since the Great Depression, the 1930s. So We have an oligarchy. We have a monopoly economy. We have a return to the age of the robber barons. And wealth, it not only is concentrated there, but we have about four giant funds at home that stock investment funds at home hold about 80% or more. So when something happens like the coronavirus, which we would call in Wall Street terms a black swan, which is something that flies in unexpectedly, what happens is when we have a really unstable, phony, fake, leveraged economy like this, all of a sudden, bingo, we have a crash. And this is going to represent a long-term recession. Some might call it a depression. It's not going to be a decade, be like the Great Depression of the 1930s, but it may last 3 to 4 years before it has run its course. I have felt that if we had allowed the market to correct itself, the end of 87, early 88, it did have a couple of crashes in there in 2018, but mainly 2018 crashes, but nothing at all came back higher than ever. What I'm trying to say to my readers and clients is that this has been controlled by a handful of banksters and oligarchs to the expense of everybody else. And they're in a massive gambling group, and they work with hedge funds and derivatives. And they have so much power to mislead everybody. But what I'm trying to say to people is that this, I have expected this for quite some time. I feel that this massive correction is overdue. And the terrible, terrible scourge of the pandemic of the coronavirus is forcing us to face, first of all, the deficiencies in our healthcare system that I spoke about in my January newsletter, that we might have a health crisis that would expose this. That was an understatement. And that the bogus market at some point was going to get hit heavily this year, which is happening. And what is going on here? There's a lot of pain and suffering, yes. But what is going on is we are exposing where America has put its values, where it has put its money, and who has the power. And right now, the billionaires and the huge are the only ones that really have any power to help or change this, unfortunately. The government that we have right now, President Trump, let go in 2018. He fired 70% of the NIH and abolished the department that covered pandemics. That's what he did.
I know.
And so we have a situation here with not just inadequate leadership, but leadership that is out after to line his own pockets and make his own ego blow up, and at the expense of the health and the wealth of everybody else.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you just for a sec. I want to ask you two things. One is, do you think he's trying to destroy the country? That's one thing. The second thing is, I'm not an American, which you know I'm Canadian, but I have seen over and over again this phrase of this is an experiment in democracy, and I'm going, is this a test? Oh, and one more thing is in your amazing newsletter, you also said, you smacked our hands as the public, smack, and said we weren't paying attention or doing enough, and I want to talk about that. So go back to what you were saying, but I wanted to bring some of those foci into order.
My personal feeling is this, and I want to preface this with the fact that I'm a registered independent, so
okay.
I'm not a Republican or a Democrat.
Okay.
Trump, I don't believe he's trying to destroy the country. I think he is destroying many of the country's institutions, images, connections, allies. He's destroying things across the board.
To what end?
He's taking advantage people's fear and hatred of people of color, of immigrants, or anybody that's different, so that they can blame their problems on the immigrants or people of color or the Muslims. Well, he's taking advantage of this, which, by the way, was taken advantage of in the Third Reich in Germany during the 1930s. Because this is it. Winston Churchill once said that democracy is almost impossible, but it's better than the alternative. Democracy depends on an informed public, an educated public. When I was back in when crustaceans walked the earth, when I was in school, we had civics in our junior high. We had civics, history. We paid attention. We read the headlines. Our public doesn't know makes a democracy work. In order for democracy to work, for people to vote for people who are in doing things in the interest of the nation as a whole and them personally, they have to be trained and educated, highly literate. They need today to have some comprehension of economics and how the financial system works and who is in charge. They need to be informed. And unfortunately, our nation is woefully ignorant of how work, how the giant banks and corporations buy out the legislature, buy out the presidency, which brings me full circle back to Trump, who is using the presidency to boost his own narcissistic ego and to line his pockets. His private funds are now making a bid for a German company that is making test kits and vaccines.
Wow.
Just one example of how he is using things to boost his businesses, his children's businesses, to line his pockets. And he has been such a bad businessman with so many bankruptcies. He's a con artist. He's a salesman. He milks people in this country who are already scared to death, don't really know what's going on, are looking around to blame people of different religions, different races, different ethnic groups for their troubles. Mm-hmm. So he has used that. And it's almost the people around, it's almost like a cult that has all drunk the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. It's the old pecking order thing, isn't it? It's a pecking order thing.
Yes, a discussion. So Trump has been screaming about the stock market. This has been his trade. Get the stock market up. When you have the biggest epidemic of homelessness and they say we have high employment, well, the employment I found out on the ground, I have a daughter who is a volunteer at a homeless shelter in the Portland, Seattle area. Mm-hmm. The on the ground truth is a lot of young people with children are in a homeless shelter right now that are working two jobs because they don't make enough money to pay for housing. That all those jobs that has created this high employment, you can't make a living from those jobs, and you can't pay for housing because the oligarchs have bought up all the real estate since 2008 that crashed and went under, and they had the cash, and they bought it all up. They renovated it, selling it at huge prices and renting at huge rents. Mm-hmm. So it makes housing unaffordable. For 70,000 people homeless in Manhattan, 100,000 people in the Los Angeles area, and that many in San Francisco, tent cities all over the place, and the corporate-owned media is barely reporting on this.
See, that's the thing. I want to jump back to the humans who, like those of us who are citizens that are not active and don't really understand and don't participate. I think we have been numbed out by the craziness of the media. I think the food has really made our brains weak, and people don't know where their power can exist. They don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And when I see homeless people, and I know that, for example, 3D printers can build a home for under $4,000, that's front to back. You know, it doesn't have to be this way. It can be different, but what are we to do? So I felt like, not defensive, but I understand that we're not doing anything about it and we're not participating and we're not passionate about it. Why? And you also, one more thing, you talked about Einstein and how he talked about the development of an oligarchy. It's kind of all related, yes. Isn't it? You go ahead.
In 1949, I have a quote on this month's newsletter.
And it's brilliant.
It's an icy time of a famous Piscean. And what he said in that quote could be relevant today. Everything that he warned us of and said about oligarchies and how the dominant monopolies buy out the government and buy out the media of the time. And it's almost impossible to have, you talked about a democracy, and the government is completely bought out by the very super rich. You know, people are bewildered and they feel completely powerless. They don't know who to vote for because many of the people that are running are financed, their campaigns are financed, and their pockets are lined by the super rich who only are interested in their interests, not interested in the general good of the country and solving many of these problems that, as you pointed out, are solvable. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned food. This gets me started, so I'm not going to take off with this like I usually do. But the system, and there was a recent study that found that but large numbers of people who eat the same number of calories today that they ate, say, in the 1970s, become much heavier than they did then. Well, this is because the poultry and the meat system, the beef, poultry, all of this is doctored with hormones and chemicals and antibiotics that are designed to make these animals very fat, very overweight, so that they can make big profits because it's by the weight that they are sold in the marketplace. So we have been, since the early 1980s when farming was deregulated and became oligarchical farming owned by giant enterprises, they were able to pump these things into the system. And the rate of obesity in this country has absolutely skyrocketed, along with the rate of diabetes, heart disease, and cancer that are offshoots of that epidemic. And also, what people put in prepared food is loaded with sugar and salt and fat, so that people are eating out. They're not making their food at home anymore. They're ordering out. And that's all deregulated and allowed to be as we all know where it is today. Plus, when you allow Roundup, which is a weed killer, a toxic weed killer, to be sprayed on genetically engineered crops that are engineered to resist Roundup, so that Roundup kills all the weeds, including the butterflies and the bees and everything around that crop.
I know.
And then it is sold, and not only that, but it is drenched in that weed killer, and we are eating product. And those are things I know for a fact. Yes. So part of the problem is we are very, very physically unhealthy. Mm-hmm. It affects our mental health. We have been deprived of a pathway that used to be here in this country for personal wealth. The infrastructure that would support us is inadequate, and we have all these problems. So how, we have to admit that we have allowed this to happen, Veronica, until we're all personally overwhelmed. There's no mm-hmm. question about it. We say we're sitting here, oh my God, here we are. What do we do? I think we have to start thinking of voting for people who most sincerely want to be a part of the change that needs to happen in the world. We need to look at people and say, is this a person who's going to create a more fair and just economy? Mm-hmm. A balanced, fair, and a just economy is neither socialism, capitalism, whatever. What it is, private enterprise that is not monopolistic, that has monopoly ceilings on it, combined with a safety net of social, like Social Security, Medicare, effective Medicare, and unemployment insurance that are sort of disappearing or dying out, And we need a balance between entrepreneurial capitalism, healthy capitalism. It's small businesses that have been the innovators. And when a small business gets out there and creates something, some big oligarch comes along and arm wrestles them and offers them a lot of money to buy the competition out, that either ditches it altogether or absorbs it into their business.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need is a kind of a Teddy Roosevelt figure.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, yeah. Or FDR?
FDR, yes. He was up against terrible things because the Depression had really hit.
And he had his own illness, yes.
He had polio. He was ill. He was here for almost four terms, mm-hmm. and he was ill with the effects of polio and post-polio syndrome all that time. The thing about Roosevelt, he and his wife, I think his wife Eleanor, was enormously influential of compassion and caring for the masses as a whole and the workers, the working class as a whole.
And they came from money.
And they came from money, exactly. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that a person has to have wealth behind him or her in order to get into these positions, which whether it's their private wealth or whether it's somebody like Michael Bloomberg is going to finance whoever the Democratic nominee is, which looks like it'll be Joe Biden. You need to have that behind you because in our society, you've got to have it in order to get into the position.
Well, let me back up for a minute. What about the astrological influences on us? Are there swooping changes in astrology that can make this more vulnerable to change? Does that make sense?
Yes, I think there will be. The thing is that we have to survive and get over to the other side of things that are going to get a lot worse before they get better, Veronica. This coronavirus, it will subside somewhat by the middle of April, early May for a while. But at the end of the summer, starting in August through the end of this year, what we have is a terrible set. I say terrible, there's no other way to describe it, of planetary pictures that are telling me that I think the coronavirus, after it dies down, is going to make a comeback in the fall, big time. And things are going to be so difficult, we may not on election day. I was trying to figure out earlier, before the virus struck, why is it we won't know who won? I remember something like this in the Bush-Gore election in 2000 where we didn't know who won and they had to take it to the Supreme Court. And you remember the hanging chads and all that stuff 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, this isn't it. I think people are going to have trouble getting to the polls in the fall of the year. My interpretation of this is going to be very difficult, that we're going to have to institute what you already have, I believe, in Oregon, Washington, a mail-in vote or online vote so that people don't have to worry about physically getting to the polls to vote. But
also about this messing around with those with those kinds of voting machines as well. That's been
really
terrible.
Well, yes. Yes. And there's also voters are being, mainly the Republicans, are removing voters from the rolls for not for a good reason. They're just eliminating things in districts that have a lot of Democrats. 250,000 voters were purged from the polls in Wisconsin last year. And one of my friends and clients who lives up there went up and found out her name had been purged from the polls. She's a professor, PhD, and she set up such a storm. They said, oh, but you had moved. She says, I've been here since 2016. I did not move. And she found out many of her friends were purged, and it was she made a, she just went, I recommend to everybody, go and find out if your name is still registered to vote, mm-hmm. and that you demand that right. Also in terribly poor districts where there are a lot of minorities throughout the country, they've created voter ID laws, and a driver's license or something won't even work. You've got to have a birth certificate of origin, and a lot of those people don't have it. don't have any money to access it. And so they know they're going to keep these people who would vote for somebody who might help them from voting. And these kinds of things are going on throughout the country. And so that to demand that you have that right to vote, and you've got to make sure that your polls weren't tampered with. The Supreme Court already said it was illegal to have voter ID laws, and they have held on to them in certain states to eliminate the minorities the poorer people.
Let me interrupt you just for a sec that I was reading some stuff about way back in the beginning, right? You know, the war and all that started democracy in this country. They were already doing that then.
You mean right after we became a nation, after
yep.
the Revolutionary War?
It's been going on since it started,
This is true. Nothing is really new here.
Is that not sad?
And look at the Civil War, the worst thing that ever happened to us. And we had a great leader like Abraham Lincoln. But following the Civil War, we had and Lincoln was assassinated, we had terrible leadership. Johnson followed him. And the South was never able to come back, which Lincoln was committed to helping the South economically and to come back. So we still have the racism, the hatred, the prejudice, the economic failures in those regions today that we have not really understood well or changed. And so they're very disillusioned. They're scared to death that somebody's going to take their job away. They feel, and so the racism thing is huge. And the fear, what is, like Roosevelt said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. However, there are reasons people are afraid today. As you point out, they're bewildered. They don't know what they can do.
Right.
And this is my feeling in answer to your question.
And we're numbed. Things we're numbed by the confusing media. You know that.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Things are going to get worse before they get better.
But I want to ask you this. What about the kind of astrological configurations that can boot up the growing of integrity or the self, the consciousness of being self and being an evolutionary being? Is that none of that flowing through the universes at this time?
It will. I believe that it will. And let me explain. First of all, we've got to get to the end of this year. This is going to be a horrendously difficult year, especially in the fall, especially around the time of the election. We may not know who won on election day. There's going to be enormous disputes. There's going to be great difficulties. The virus is making a comeback. Wall Street is crashing again. We have to go through this year. In December, there is a very significant
Repeat that. Your phone bopped out. Could you say it again? We have to go through?
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, we have to go through this apocalypse.
Uh-huh. So you're saying that the virus, I want to ask something. If the virus is going to return, will we not have some immunity because we've been through it once?
No, because it's going to be constantly infecting new people, and the elderly who are particularly vulnerable to this, there's going to be really serious effects. A lot of people may pass away. We're going to have casualties. I want to say that first, I wanted to, because my business is cycles and time.
Right.
And people need to prepare now for the period through the end of this year. They need to prepare themselves. At the end of this year, the end of December, a major conjunction takes place, which has always brought about some kind of serious recession. And that's the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in Aquarius in December of this year, the end of December. Now, there's two things. One, we will have a serious, sharp, major recession, some will call it a depression, that will probably last until maybe 2024, around in that cycle. Now, however, I want to say, this is my point, is that conjunction symbolizes our official entry into the Aquarian age, about which I am tremendously optimistic. And as we go into 2021, 2022, in these eras, even though we'll have a very difficult economy, my feeling is people's consciousness will be raised. People will recognize about loving thy neighbor as thyself, that if we work together and join together and create community businesses, local, relocalize ourselves, work together, help each other, contribute to the society as a whole, as opposed to being selfish, narcissistic leaders, I think that my feeling is that it will be a consciousness change. We will have programs that, for instance, unemployment is going to be a huge factor because most jobs, the technology will replace most people with robots, computers. Andrew Yang, who ran for president, proposed an income for life, say theoretically $1,000 a month, to help people get through this. There are proposals out there to help the people at large. I think there's going to be a tremendous change in consciousness and transformation of the way people look at our society, the world, and each other. Aquarius is a sign that at its best, it can say, we're all friends. We're all in this together. Like Lincoln said, united we stand, divided we fall. Mm-hmm. And they're going to a famous Aquarius, by the way. I pointed out in one of my newsletters that Abraham Lincoln and Charles Darwin were born the same date in the same year in February. Amazing coincidence. Whereas Lincoln was this great statesman who saved us from falling apart as a nation and holding on to slavery as the dark night of the soul. And Charles Darwin came up with a theory of evolution, which transformed biological science in the direction we were going in. Hmm. And I feel that these two people in history are symbolic of the best of what Aquarius can do. And my feeling is a combination of statesmanship and concern for the greater welfare of people in general. The recognition that we are all one in a certain sense. We're a part of each other. We're a part of the earth itself. We have to act in the interests of all in order for each individual to thrive. And that doesn't mean being communist. That doesn't mean, you know, a government-owned business enterprise. This means a balance between private enterprise and government programs, which will make a more equal playing field, give people a more equal opportunity, and give us the kind of safety nets that we need. Because this plague, by the way, doesn't discriminate about how rich you are, how poor, but it is going to disproportionately affect the poor. What about all these homeless people, the 52,000 in downtown LA? How are they going to get it? How are they going to get kits? How are they going to eventually, a year to a year and a half from now, how are they going to get the vaccine? How are they going to deal with this when they have no money and no home? This affects everybody. It doesn't just affect that group. You can't escape from the planet or each other. You've got to act in our overall interests and create things that work. This is where I believe, as an astrologer, that we have a shot. I say a shot because it's up to us. Mm-hmm. The planets describe the cycle. They describe the energies. They describe the historic precedents for us. But what we do with it is of the greatest importance. Mm-hmm. What we decide to do, the decisions you and I make in our lives.
It sounds like it's not going to be all pivoting around money, money, and only money.
Well, the economy, I have to say, my experience with all of history is the economy is the bottom line, literally. The economics, if you don't have ways for people to be supported economically, to own their property, to whatever, manage their businesses or whatever, we can't deny that. But with economics, it's got to be an enlightened economics of fairness and justice, and with systems in which we help each other rather than knocking each other over.
Right.
This is, to me, we have to address our consciousness raising, our innovative qualities, the massive technological changes with works economically for people. Those things are all component parts of the overall picture, and we can't have one without the other.
So things are going to change, but it's going to be contingent upon all of us to rise in terms of our consciousness and help each other, right?
I honestly, Veronica, I don't know whether it's going to be all of us, but I do feel
it has to be a huge
number.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it had those of us that choose and say, let's get together and figure this thing out. And I really can't stress enough the importance of a daily meditation, of opening ourselves up spiritually to higher consciousness, to a greater understanding, and reaching that place of peace that is there for all of us, the recognition that we are a part of a multiple of universes, that we have access to solutions to just about everything, but mm-hmm. we must feel an inner peace. That's why being fearful and deciding to hate your neighbor or burn his house down or hold on to your guns is not the way to survive. Everybody mm-hmm. will go down with that. Mm-hmm. It once you access that inner place of peace, there is something there for us today that I believe may never have quite been there the way it is now before. That there's something wonderful there that I personally am feeling, and I'm talking to others that are feeling it, that is giving us, I had a spiritual experience about 6 months ago, actually last summer, where in my meditation, the presence of a wonderful blue light came in.
Nice.
Just a giant, beautiful blue light. And some people would say, oh, she's crazy. She's out of her tree.
Not me.
But I feel that announced to me that there is a new presence on planet Earth that's available to humans in a way that it has not been available or understood in the past. And that blue, since that time with that blue light, I've had a whole new sensibility about my life and the future of the planet. I am there. I want to say, with all of these things that we realistically have to face, that is the most important, that we have access to the love, the support, the beauty, the energy that is in the universe and that has come to Earth now to give us help and hope and perhaps help us to bring about our own salvation.
Wow. So like moving frequencies within our, as a frequency being, I'm fascinated by this. We get to move our own personal frequencies, and your experience did that with you, right? But we can move past.
Mm-hmm. I think, and you know this so well, being who you are, Veronica, the major thing is being receptive, mm-hmm. being open and receptive to what divinity and the greatness of the universe. It has everything. So all we need to do is open ourselves and direct and ask, just in a humble way, just ask for the help that we need. It may get us from one day to the next. It may get us from one year to the next. We may have things that appear at our meditation level that we never thought of, a brilliant idea or a solution to the problem with a family member or a solution to a problem we have with job or finances or whatever it is. I think the important thing is that wonderful, peaceful place that we can go and say, please help. What do you have for me? When I opened up that day, just at my routine meditation, and that blue light came in, it was almost like music was playing this happened. And I shared it on my Facebook page. And I got, oh my God, I think I got over 50 responses on my Facebook page.
Wonderful.
And people, thank you, Linda, for the blue light. So you know that people need to hear this. They need to know that it's there so that they these people can access this wonderful, wonderful energy themselves. It's so there for all of us.
Spirit is not in an oligarchy.
Right. That's right. The spirit is not an oligarchy. It doesn't care what you have in the bank.
So that's a wonderful recommendation to lead to all of us to leave with everyone, just to reach with your mind. I like to say reaching with your mind is a sculpting tool. Let it go up there. And you know,
it's a beautiful way to put it.
And I'm so glad to speak with you. And I wish us all the best, because you and I know that some things that look worse on the physical dimension. Well, I want to say this one other thing, is I know people are doing amazing inventions right now. There's absolutely stunning, stunning things going on around the media, around the media that you and I are involved in, for starters. But not just that, but it's just, like I mentioned, the 3D printing houses. It's like $4,000 from top to bottom.
And absolutely. It's a brilliant and elegant solution to housing problems that can be done. I want to say this about global climate change and the oil gas companies who are absolutely going down into the cellar. The stock has crashed. They're having a major crisis over the whole planet with oil prices and everything. And I say that's good because we're ending the age as we leave the age of Pisces and go into Aquarius. We're ending the age of fossil fuel. We, as I've said many times on various radio shows, we're going to have hydrogen, boron, nuclear fusion, which is infinite amounts of energy, wiring the whole everything with no pollution, no greenhouse warming, no gases, nothing like
that. And no hoarding.
No hoarding. It is literally the holy grail of energy. That's going to be the biggest thing since the invention of the wheel. That's one of the breakthroughs. I also feel we're going to have breakthroughs in biogenetic engineering that are coming up. In the last time there was some prominent stuff in Aquarius in the 1990s, Dolly the sheep was cloned. And I see something going ahead of us along that line. We're going to be dealing with stem cells and biogenetic engineering, which will be the answer to the major diseases like cancer and diabetes. They've been working on this stuff for a long time.
Hey, Linda, dental problems.
Yes, yes. There's all kinds of restoration medicine that will be evolving in the age of Aquarius.
And even brain scanning and teaching us how to work our brains like it's a muscle.
Yes, and right now we have a major problem with mental health and mental illness all over the place. It's like huge. It's just enormous. And addiction. I can't ever remember a time, yet there always have, it's always been like this. It's just that addiction, alcohol, drugs, opioids, all this stuff is killing people across this country. And a lot of it initially is because of people, their brains and their nervous systems aren't working. They are suffering from severe depressions and mood swings, and they...
And brain damage.
There will be things where you put electrical currents onto your brain and your spine and your nervous system, which will restore the brain function that should be there to begin with through energy and electricity and things like this. There's going to be many, many answers to this problem. I really am optimistic. I feel that Andrew Yang is right about jobs and that we'll find a way to support people, even though many of the jobs that exist today, I mean, half of this nation's male population drives a vehicle for a living, whether they drive a UPS truck or a truck or a mail thing or Uber or Lyft or, you know, whatever they're doing. Half of the male population in this country has a job connected with driving. We're going to have automatic driving. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a robot driving vehicles probably within the next 10-year cycle. So that in itself will eliminate half of these jobs. We're going to have to figure out how people can work for a living in businesses and jobs that are going to work for them, and in the meantime have some kind of social support system, as Yang recommended, in place to protect those who would simply go down the tubes.
And my own guides are always saying lately, look for innovation. There is so much innovation going on, things you've not even heard of.
Very, very true. But we have to also think of social innovation and how, with all these great breakthroughs and technologies that are replacing people all over the place, how are we going to create an economy that has this but works for people? These are things that people have to figure out. They haven't figured them out yet.
No.
There's got to be the young people out there have to sit down and say, how can we create a prosperous economy that is going to be able to generate jobs so that people can make a decent and dignified living and that they're not going to lose their job to a robot.
Mm-hmm. But also with
it's
so much
issue.
So much energy stuff, and you're talking about the blue light, I'm going all the way in the middle of that, these energies can move through and uplift people's ability to perceive solutions. You know?
Yes, I agree, Veronica. Mm-hmm. I think that once we address our own personal psyche, our expression, our lives here on Earth while we are here in this format, upgrading, uplifting, being in a place of love rather than a place of hate and misery, being in a place of light rather than darkness, once we strive for that, there is no solution that we can't come up with.
Right. And it be in many, many dimensions. Well, it's always wonderful to talk to you, so we're going to do this again soon if you would like to.
Oh, I love to, Veronica.
When does your Soothsayer newsletter come out? What time of the month?
The next one, well, it's up there now, the March issue, Soothsayer, that's SOOTHESAYER.com is up now, the March issue, April 1st, the first of every month, I put a new issue up there. My email is Soothsayer, SOOTHESAYER, at USA.net, if you would like to have a session with me, or on my website newsletter, you can click in. My phone number and my email is on that website if you wish to reach me and have a personal session. My three books are all listed on the site that are sold on Amazon if you're interested.
Fast forward, what next? And let me see, the proper title of the third one, I forget.
Our Choice, Extinction or Evolution, which I wrote with data analysts Rich Spitzer. Mm-hmm. We co-authored that book to give people in this new era a place to look and to go with the problems that we have and the future that we may share together is our last book that we wrote together.
Yeah, well, these books are very inspiring. They're sometimes a little bit earthy, meaning you have to really look at situations and then they really inspire your action, like Shoehorns.
Well, yes, and I look back at the books. My first book was published, What Next, in 2007, and the things that I talked about at that time have all played out.
That's
every major
right.
theme has definitely played out.
Yay!
So my feeling is I stick to what it is that I know or think I know. There's always times when what you know is wrong, and you have to change your direction and your scope and say, now, wait a minute, let me pull back. I wasn't right about that. And you have to correct your course.
But you know what? You know what I heard the other day is that the new IQ is going to be learning, unlearning, and learning anew, and that's going to be happening rapidly through our world.
Truer words were never spoken, Veronica.
Anyway, you're wonderful. This is Linda Sherman, everyone, and stay tuned and have your reading with her on what's happening in the incentives, I would say, even in your astrological maps. And I hope to see you soon again, Linda. Be well.
Thank you.
All right. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for tuning in to me talking to Linda Sherman, soothsayer, astrological wizard of the times. We learned a bit about the future, and I know you know more things too we can add. Much love to everyone. Many blessings.